always wonderful to come together, to sing, to admonish, to uplift each other, and to encourage each other to continue to fight that good fight. If you will, open up your Bibles and turn along with me to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 1 through 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, and reading there verses 1 through 4, it says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great precious promise, that through these you may be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. As I was trying to prepare the lesson for this morning and deciding to go through these verses, mainly looking at verse 3 as it goes forth, His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I first started off on a mindset of preparing two lessons, one on life and one on godliness. But as I strive to separate the two, I could not and had to put them together, because as we go forth and talk about life that is not a godly life, then it's life that's not pertaining to the Bible. It's not life in which is pertaining that God has granted us and desires us to have. And we can choose to have a life that has nothing to do with God, or a life that picks and chooses what parts of God we want to put into our life. But if we're going to open up our Bibles and we're going to study about life, then we're going to study about a godly life. Therefore, as we look at this verse and it brings out all things pertaining to life and godliness, it's about how we can have a godly life and how we can live our lives upon this earth, and that the Word of God has all things that we need for that. Anytime that we would have a question in life about looking for an answer on what we should do, how our attitude should be, and which direction should we go, what decision should we make, the Word of God is there for us. The Word of God is there to direct us, to guide us in the right direction, and helping us to make correct decisions and to be able to do all things wholeheartedly unto the Lord, to be able to do all things according to the way He wants us to do them. And again, it's not saying here that it's going to have every single answer to the point of this morning. We all got up and chose what we was going to wear. And so God did not choose for me this morning on what color of shirt I was going to wear. And as I went and looked at my dress shirts, and I tried to figure out what color I was going to wear, again, I went to my wife and said, what color of shirt goes with the tie? I was on one mindset, and she says, you can't wear that with a gray suit. I went to my wife for that. God did not give me that answer, but God does answer a question of modesty. As we go through and you try to choose out what vehicle, what house, where you're going to live, God doesn't tell you you have to live in this neighborhood. God doesn't tell you you have to have a house this big or this small. But He does tell us that we have to learn to be content. He does tell us that we can't get too prideful. That He does, through the Word of God, give us explanation of providing for our family, so you do need a roof over your children's and your spouse's heads. And so you do have to have food. You have to make sure that you're not going out of your price range so that, you know, we can talk about the love of money. And I just want to make a few points this morning. Maybe kind of lead it into a couple other sermons for down the road. But just to the point that we can open up the Bible for answers. And so a lot of the points I'll be making this morning is points that we could be bringing out in full lessons of themselves. But simply answering the question that we need to be going to the Bible for these answers. That yes, there are answers that we get from God, and then you have a little sway room for yourself in deciding what color shirt you're going to wear, or for your spouse to choose what color shirt you're going to wear. We need to live a godly life, though, is one point to bring out, is that if we're not wanting to please God, then what the Word of God has to say doesn't matter. If we're not wanting to have a home in heaven, then the Word of God doesn't matter. If we don't
want to wear the title Christian, child of God, saints. The word of God doesn't matter. But if you do want those things, if you want a home in heaven, if you want to be considered a child of God, if you want to live eternally in heaven with God, you want to please Him, then we need to be going to the Bible, to the Word of God, to find those answers, because He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, so that we may have a godly life. In Romans chapter 6, if you turn along with me, and when we choose to become children of God, that is what we're choosing to do. We are choosing to have a godly life. Romans chapter 6, read along with me, starting there in verse 1. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we, who died to sin, live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of our Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over us, over Him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." As you read through there, again, when we choose to obey the gospel, when you choose to get baptized, you are choosing to put to death the man of sin. Not saying that you can't ever sin again. That's why he starts off with that question. Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. It's a ridiculous thought. But you've made a decision to become a child of God, a follower of Christ, and therefore you can no longer continue just walk down a path of sin. You have to choose to overcome, choose to be different, choose to follow our Lord and Savior. Because we have put to death the old man and have been resurrected with Christ, a new one. One who walks in the path of righteousness. One who's going to have a godly life. And following our Lord and Savior. Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. Romans 12 verses 1 and 2 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God." Again here, no longer being conformed to the world. That if we want to please God, we want to follow our Lord and Savior, that we are no longer going to look like everybody else. Now again, does that mean that we're completely going to look differently? No, we're all human. And so therefore, we were all made in the image of God. Yes. And so therefore, that way, in that manner, we all look the same. For the most part, everybody has two arms, two legs, 10 fingers, 10 toes, one head, one body. But in the way we live our life, to be godly, and have a godly life, and put on godliness, and to go forth and follow our Lord and Savior, we are transformed. What way do we start our transformation? It starts with our mind. With a mindset that we are no longer wanting to be like the world, that we no longer going to be selfish, and we're no longer going to be angry and act out rash decisions, but we're going to be patient, long-suffering, loving, kind. And that we're going to follow and be like Christ. Because we have been transformed by the will of God. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, again, life
is supposed to be about our God. Philippians 1 and verse 21, it says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain."
The question we have to ask ourselves, sometimes we get caught up in thinking, well, there's a time and point. There's the time to be godly when we come together for worship on Sunday and on Wednesday and during gospel meetings. And so, yes, we need to look a little bit nicer and be a little more modest and watch what we say then. But after 5 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night, then it's okay to be drunk. It's okay to do what you want. Well, when it's summertime, it's summer vacation. And so we can dress however we want because it's hot outside and you're at the beach and we can dress in modesty. Christian lifestyle doesn't have a vacation time. Christian lifestyle is 24/7, that we are to be godly, that we are to be followers of Christ. Because what if God comes during summer break? What if God comes back when at night when it's dark outside and no one else is around and you think no one else is watching? We are to be godly all the time, continuously following in the footsteps of Christ, continuously. We look at 1 Peter 2 and verse 21. He has given us that example to follow. He lived a life upon this earth so that we have steps. We can look to our Lord and Savior. And again, there's a lot of good examples throughout the Word of God. We go through 1 Samuel as we're doing now in the adult class, and we can look to see some of the good things Saul had done, but a lot of the bad things that Saul gets caught up in. Then we can look to Jonathan, his son. We've already pointed out his heart and his attitude and trusting in God. And then we're going to see what kind of love Jonathan has for his friend David and see what kind of friendship we can truly have with one another. We can take that example of Jonathan and David. We've looked at Ruth already when we went through the book of Judges and after that, right after, during the days of Judges. But the ultimate example is our Lord and Savior, and we have His life right here in the Word of God, in the Bible that you own. The example that we can be looking to and seeing how we should live our lives. When we get caught up in asking, what shall we do? What should we do in this situation? Turn to God. Pray. Search His Scriptures. See how God can guide you in the right direction. We need to have a godly life. So the remaining of the lesson this morning, I want to go forth and just slightly make points of a few things in which we can, and I know we can make a longer list than what I have this morning, and we can go in more detail than what I'm going to in these points. But in our lives today, if we have questions about what we should be doing, what kind of person should I be? How do people look at me? What kind of character do they think I am? Do they describe me as? We talk about anger in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, if you turn along with me there. Ephesians 4 and verse 26, as it reads here, it says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." So here it is. How do people think about you when it comes to anger? One, are you quick to anger? And we open up our Bible again, we can have a whole lesson on this. We can open up our Bible and see that we should be slow to anger. But again, it's not saying that anger in itself is sin, but it's how you hold on to that anger. Do you get rid of that anger before the night is ended? Before you go to bed and lay down and go to sleep, do you find a way to pray to God, to search the Scriptures, to seek help, to go to the person and try to solve the problem if you're angry with somebody? Be angry and do not sin. We talk about love, John 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Do we have a love that's willing to sacrifice? A love for all, for everyone. We often get caught up, and we can say that all the time, right? I love everyone, just like God loves everyone. But do we? Do we have a love for everyone? We have a love for our enemies, we have a love for politics, we have a love for our brethren, we have a love for our neighbors. Love. God loved all. God loves all. Being kind to one another. Ephesians 4 and verse 32. Ephesians 4 and verse 32, it says, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Be kind." What kind of person should I be? What kind of person is Christ? Because that's who we're trying to follow. That's who we're trying to be like.
In many ways, you can get caught up in saying, I want to be like so-and-so. I want to be, you might pick the ball player that you want to be like. You might pick some actor that you want to be like. You might pick a parent that you want to be like. But ultimately, we should want to be like Christ. We should want to be like our God and have a godly life. We talk about our work ethics, about going to work, not necessarily getting caught up in those questions if this is the job that you should be doing or not. You know, God's not specifically saying you have to go and work this job or you have to go and work that job. But He does give us ideas and mindset of who we should be when we go to work in Colossians 3 and verse 23, and that we should be working. Colossians 3 and verse 23 says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. How often do we get caught up in why do I work so hard knowing that they're not doing so much? Why do I work so hard when I don't even like my boss? Comes back to if you're going to do something, and as you go to work, work as if God is your boss. You're doing this heartily as unto the Lord because He sees your work ethics. He sees your attitude. He sees whether or not you're talking behind the back, if you're gossiping with the other co-workers. God sees and hears these things. He knows what kind of person you are. And other people see it too. And of course, we have to be willing to work. 2 Thessalonians 3 and in verse 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and you read there in verse 10, it says, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. And again, we get caught up in talking about hospitality and talking about helping and providing for the poor and doing our part, lay my in store for the saints, the needy brethren. We also get caught up in remembering that you have to be willing to work. That it's not something that we continuously give to that same person over and over again and don't ever say, hey, when are you going to get a job? Have you filled out any applications? Can I help you, drive you to an interview? Because it does tell us we have to be willing to work. Provide for our family. To make sure that food's on the table. To make sure they're protected. We talk about money as we're on that subject. That we can't allow it to go too far when we're talking about working and providing for our family. That it is to provide for our family, not to keep all that wealth to myself and still not provide anything for my children. Because I can neglect buying the new clothes and save up my money to buy the land to hunt on. We can get caught up in our own self-esteem. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10 says, for the love of money, again, here's the key point, that it's not money in itself, it's that love and that desire that you call it precious and it's all that you want, that love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. For which some have strayed from faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Learning to be content in Luke 3 and verse 14, I believe here, as we look and see them coming to John the Baptist and they're asking what they should do. And so he speaks to the soldiers here. Luke 3 and verse 14 says, likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, and what shall we do? So he said to them, do not intimidate anyone and accuse falsely and be content with your wages. Why? Because they could get caught up in their position and going around, well, I'm a guard and I'm a soldier. I can take more than what the king has told us to take and we can... Just be content with what you have. And again, it's not saying that you can't work hard to make extra money. It's not saying that you can't sit there and say, I would like to get a nicer house, a bigger house, a nicer vehicle that's not always breaking down. It's also to that point that you're not going to go the other direction. That you're jealous of what everybody else has. That you're going to covet after what your neighbor has. Rather, we have a heart and attitude that when our brothers and sisters in Christ are able to do well for themselves, they're able to get a new vehicle, that we rejoice when they rejoice.
We're happy for them. We're happy for each other. Glad that they're able to have that opportunity.
Again, when we have questions, we can turn to God and find answers.
We can look through the Scriptures and see what God has to say to help guide us in the right direction.
Eventually, you have to make up that decision. That decision's on you. We talk about those who rule over us and our attitude towards them. Luke chapter 20 and verse 25. Luke 20 and verse 25, as our Lord and Savior was questioned about paying his taxes, are others paying taxes? And of course, his answer here in verse 25, it says, he said to them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's.
So yes, absolutely. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 2, here Paul instructing Timothy, pray for those who rule over you. Pray for the leaders. What good is it going to do to sit here and we get caught up? And I know it takes place, and especially if I talk to my dad or my brother or other people, it's easy to get caught up and just complain about those who are ruling over us in this country and the decisions and the laws. But do we take the time to pray for them? Is that why we're talking about it, saying, hey, we need to pray for our leader because this is the direction he's going? Or are we just doing it to complain and to gossip? Pray. The Word of God has directions for us to live a godly life, to know how to treat one another, our enemies. Again, we already quoted John 3:16. God loved the world. Matthew 5 and verse 43. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43 says, you have heard that it is said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Again, do you want to be called a child of God?
Yes.
You want to be called a Christian?
Yes.
A follower of Christ, a saint? Love your enemies.
Pray for them. Do good unto them. Why? Because it says, verse 45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends the rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than the others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. If we want to be followers of God, then we got to be like God. Again, Jesus knows. He created us. He's lived a life upon this earth already. He's living life on this earth. He sees the temptations. He knows what we go through. And yet, he still is pushing us, strive to be perfect like your Father in heaven. Knowing that we are sinful in nature, that we get caught up in following in the direction of mankind, and we face the temptation, all have sinned and fallen short. But when you sin and you acknowledge your sin, turn from it. Strive to overcome that temptation the next go around. We shouldn't always be sinning. Talk about forgiveness, going back to Ephesians 4:32 that we already read earlier when we talked about being kind. Forgive others as God has forgiven you. Talk about vengeance. And we shouldn't get caught up in dwelling on that because God has said, vengeance is mine. And as long as they have breath in their life, and as long as we have breath in our life, we should again come back here to Matthew 5 and say we should love them and pray for them and hope that they will turn from this. We can find answers through the Word of God. Talking about assisting one another and helping and aiding. Going to Luke chapter 10 and reading about who is our neighbor. Luke chapter 10 and verses 25 through 37. They're talking about the Good Samaritan. As they say, who is my neighbor? So he gives them this story, the parable of the Good Samaritan. Which one is the neighbor? The one that passed along the way and just walked on? Or the one who stops and helps and assists? And again, we get caught up in saying, be like the Good Samaritan, but all in all, it's be like Jesus, because this is what Jesus would do. How many people did he heal? How many people did he feed? When he was tired and wore out, has taught, has healed so many, and children are coming to him, and his disciples think, man, he needs some rest, leave him alone. No, he welcomed them. Word has what we need to know how we should treat one another. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17 says, but whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Again, do you want to be a child of God? Do you claim to have the love of the Lord? If so, here he questions, he says, how? If you know that brother is in need and yet you hold back when you know you have what could assist him. We'll be there for one another. We talk about family. The Word of God can answer our questions about family, about marriage. Go into Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, and you read along here, we'll read towards the end of it, if you will. Ephesians 5 and verse 28 says, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you particularly so love his own wife as himself, and let his wife see that she respects her husband. How a marriage should work. We can ask the question about divorce and go to Matthew chapter 5 and see the only reason that God allows it. We talk about parents and children, and look here in Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Again, we have instructions through the Word of God on how we are to treat one another, on how we should be living our lives here on earth. We go to 1 Timothy 5 and see that if we have a mother that is a widow, we need to step up and give back to her as she is given to us. To help take care of her so that the church can take care of widows indeed. And again, there are so many things we can go through and start listening down the things of questions we might have in our life. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness to have a godly life. We have to be willing to search the scriptures, ask those questions to find them. Pray to God that He will guide us in the right direction, that we will have a willing, open heart to accept what He has to say so that we can follow in the footsteps of Christ and so that we can have that home in heaven. But if you have questions, then ask them. Search the scriptures. And when someone gives you an answer, make sure it lines up with the Word of God. We need to make sure that we're living a godly life 24/7, 365 days a year. Always. And we don't want to leave extending the invitation this morning to any who desire to have a godly life and has yet to put on Christ because they've not been baptized into Christ. And so if you're here this morning and you desire to be baptized, please let us know. You can come forward, you can just step out into the pew, you can tell whoever you're sitting by, we'll make sure that you get baptized today. Or if you're here and you've already obeyed the gospel, you need the prayers of the congregation. If there's anything we can do for you, we let it be known as we stand and sing.